Actually, in the middle of a topic here, we left last week in the middle of a topic. We are going to discuss tonight, continue our discussion about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, and we're going to talk about when liquids, solids, and so I guess we will start with just a quick review where we're up to in source 40. We're up to source 40, I think. Until Basically, there's a debate that we saw last week about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Now, there's once you cook something and it gets cold, can you reheat it or not? So we said when it comes to solids, yeah, you can reheat it. You're not recooking it. You cook a food, so let's say a food is fully cooked, that's a machlokas debate. Does it be fully cooked or a third cooked? But let's say it's fully cooked and then you reheat it, solid food, you're not recooking it because it's already been cooked once. But maybe when it comes to liquids, if the liquids completely cool down, so that's a debate amongst the Rishonim as to whether once it cools down, it loses its status of being cooked, it becomes uncooked, as it were. Then when you heat it up again, then it becomes halachically recooked. So that's the question. So the Ramah has this interesting middle position, and the Ramah in Or HaChaim Siman Shin Yud Ches Seif Tesvav says that if it's not fully cold, then you can reheat it. And we saw of the Moshe Feinstein said, well, if a person would typically have like it as a warm drink, let's say you have soup. So it's not completely cold and you still have it as warm soup. But it's not boiling hot, it's not yahd lettuce bowl, it's not 110, 113 degrees. It's warm, you still consider it a warm drink. So then you could reheat that soup again, assuming you don't violate any rabbinic prohibitions. When it comes to reheating food, you have to deal with the biblical prohibition of bishul, and then rabbinic prohibitions of hachzara, or mechzik mevashel, something appears like cooking, or maybe might change the temperature. So we're only talking about the Torah prohibition of bishul, where he says it doesn't apply as long as doesn't become fully cold. So why is this so? So the Ramosha said, we saw this, Ramosha Feinstein says, because he held that really the Ramah holds like the Ram and the Rashba, that even with a liquid, even with a davar lach, even with the liquid, we say ein bishul achar bishul, but nevertheless, we're strict when it becomes completely cooled down. So he really holds that. So we try to be a little strict if it's fully cold. So in other words, we really should pass like the Rashba and the Rambam, but we're strict when it becomes completely cool. Maybe because, like what the Chazon Ish said, that maybe because if you're lenient when it comes to liquids that become completely cold, maybe you'll be lenient to heat up uncooked liquids to begin with. So now we're up to the Egle Tal. The Egle Tal in Source 40, he gives the following reason. It says, "Hachros haRama." This is on page 319. "Hachros haRama laHakia b'lo distan legamri kasa minchas kohen mishum desfira le da ikur kedasa posing lo machakina ben yavi shalach." So he starts off and he says, like we said before, the Rama is lenient when it comes to ein bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. He holds like those Rishonim, like the Rambam, like the Rashba, and he says there's no distinction between dry foods and liquids. Belinir, and it seems to me. Beisr doraisa machmirin keinach poskim. And to me, when it comes to a Torah prohibition, we are strict like the other poskim. In other words, what he's saying is the following. We have this machlokes. Is bishul achar bishul, right? Bedavar lach. Is that forbidden or not? In other words, is that considered cooking or not? So we have a debate. So how, do we take the lenient view or take the strict view? So what the Egle Tal is saying, that maybe the Ramah is saying like this, that we have a debate among different rabbis who we should hold like. So if it's a debate where the implications are biblical, like if you're strict, you violate a Torah prohibition, then we're going to be strict. We're going to take the stricter view. If there's a debate whether you violate a rabbinic prohibition, then we'll take the lenient view. So he says, so Logara may even spash kumacha ben drusai, but ever yavish ashel in spash called sarko, the shuv ain bo mishum bishel mido raisa. So you want to say like this. If, let's say, you have soup or you have tea, and it hasn't fully cooled down. It's warm, but it's still viewed as a warm drink. It's no worse than, let's say, something is cooked partially. If you, even those rabbis, those Rishonim who say that you know, if it cools down and then you reheat it, you violate a Torah prohibition, they will also agree that if, let's say, it's warm, but it still can be, you can still drink it as a warm drink, even those rabbis who say it's forbidden will only say that's forbidden on a rabbinic level. In other words, the Rambam and the Rashba hold that if the liquid becomes fully cold, doesn't make a difference. There's no prohibition to heat it up again because it's already cooked once. Those who argue on them and who are strict, what will they say? That yes, if it becomes fully cold, if it fully cools down and then you warm it up, you violate a Torah prohibition. But if it's still a little bit warm and you can still drink it as a hot drink and then you heat it up, you only violate an Isser Durabban, a rabbinic prohibition. So Egel Tal says, that's why the Ramah says if it's not fully cooled down, you are allowed to reheat it. Why? Because the debate is only on a rabbinic level. And that's why we're lenient. Okay, everyone understand that? Okay. So if you look now in source 41, you turn the page, the Oracle Shabbos. So he summarized this, so we have it now, we'll have it down clear. He says the following. He says, Av machal shehatav shil kavar kishiur machal ben drusai. A cooked food that's been cooked, let's say, again, machal ben drusai. So as we haven't really gone to depth about this, but let's say it takes an hour to cook the food, and you cooked it for 20 minutes or maybe 30 minutes. There's a debate, is it third cooked or half cooked? So you cooked, let's say, half an hour. Kol as long as it has not been fully cooked, if you cook it halfway, let's say before Shabbos, then you're not allowed to cook it more on Shabbos on a Torah way. You can maybe leave it in the oven, but we're saying if something has been half cooked, you're not allowed to do something, you're not allowed to do an action on Shabbos to cook it more. But a food that's been fully cooked, and it's completely fit to eat. Ain bo iser bishul. There's no prohibition of bishul. Achim toseves habishul mashbicha. But if the additional cooking makes it better, even if it makes it better, then it's still not a problem. V'lachain yesh lizar. Bigdei rashi yesh bo machal shaday lo nispashul kol tzarko. Shul lekarva el eish v'lechasosa mibnei shepulos elam mekarva es bishulo. So let's say you have a food that is, let's say, half cooked at the onset of Shabbos. You're not allowed to move it closer to the flame on Shabbos. And you're also not allowed to, let's say if it's uncovered, you're not allowed to cover it on Shabbos. Because when you, let's say if a food is on the, if a pot is on the stovetop and it's cooking and you cover it, that will speed up the cooking process. So if it's not fully cooked, then you're not allowed to put the cover on once Shabbos hits. B'chenim natal mei ha'esh, k'deir sh'tayin lo yisbash al kol tzarko. Also, l'chziru al esh, machal esh l'bishol. Also, if you took, let's say you took a pot of food off the stovetop, you can't return it back to the stovetop, even if you are still holding it, there are what's called tanai hachzara. You can't, if something's not fully cooked, you can never return it back to the stovetop, even if you, let's say, it's covered and you're still holding on to it and you have intent to return it. From a Torah perspective, because if it's not fully cooked and you remove it and then you put it back, that would be a Torah prohibition. Aval, imak der kavar mevushel is kol tzarko. If the pot of food is already fully cooked, mutar lehosif al gaba kiso, then you can. Let's say if it's fully cooked, you can put a cover on top of the pot, as long as there's no prohibition of hatmana, which we'll discuss. O lekar ve'la'esh, you can move it closer to the fire, as long as there's no rabbinic prohibition, which we'll get to. V'lachein roi lahakbi l'chadchila shu kol machayim v'bushalim kol tzarkom erev shabbos lo k'dei shal yivol likashal b'yisr bishal. It's best practices to have all the food fully cooked before sunset on Shabbos so that you don't run into these issues. Machal yavesh, a dry food shenispashal kol tzarkom, that's fully cooked. Ein bo iser bishal fil nitzdanim, even if it became cold. Hoel ve'ein bishal achar bishal, because you can't cook after something's been cooked. V'lechein mutar leitein machal kozeh al gabi kederas machal, o mecham hobni ba'ala esh. So let's say you cook a piece of chicken, you put it in the fridge. You're allowed to put it on top of an urn Shabbos morning. You're allowed to put it on top of a pot of soup. Again, we're going to talk about hot plate, those things. But these examples where there's no rabbinic prohibition, if you're putting it on top of a pot of food or you're putting it on top of an urn, so it's fully cooked. So even though it's cold, you can put the dry food onto these things on Shabbos. Even a situation where the food itself has been cooked. Nevertheless, tavlin achar habishul yesh iser lachsu levashel mishum shatavlin dain lo nisbashel. Let's say the food has been fully cooked, and then you, after it's been cooked, you put some spices in the food. I don't cook, so I don't know how this works, but let's say, I would assume that if you cook food and then you, and if you cook spices and maybe it loses its flavor as much, I don't know exactly, but let's say you cook the food and you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot to add these spices. And you put the spices, raw spices in the food, and then you would not be allowed to return it, to be heated. You're going to say, well, it's a solid food. It's been fully cooked. No, but if you add raw spices afterwards, then you're cooking the raw spices. These examples are interesting. So, l'chein ein liten gar'ine chumos. You can't put chickpeas. L'chimum al gabi hamecha. On an urn or to be heated. Mishum she'atavlim mitbashel mikoh chom ha'esh. Because the spices of the chickpeas become cooked through the heat of the fire. Okay. Then he goes to liquids. Davar lach. Sha'tavshil vahitstanein yesh lahavchil ben shnei matzavim. So a liquid that was cooked and was cooled down, there are two different situations. You meet stanein lagamri if it's completely cooled down. Also lachamo shenis machmas isha bishul. You can't heat it up because of bishul. Imlo hitstanein lagamri if it has not been fully cooled down. Av sheitstanein ad she'ein hayad tzoledes bo. Even though it's been cold, so much so that it's not yad tzoledes, but mutter lechamo shenis, mishum sheba ofen zeh nemar klal she'in bishul achar bishul af b'davar lach. If it has not been fully cooled down, even though it's been cool, if it's cooled down, and it's no longer 110 degrees, you can heat it up again, right? Because you can rely on ein bishul achar bishul b'davar lach if it's not fully cool. And he says, din hu din zeh she'amarnu she'im lo nitzan legamri ein mishum isha bishul dafka b'ofen she'dayin roi la'ochlo machmas hachom she'nishar bo. So what does it mean it's not fully cooled down? It's like that if you would have it, and there's, at what point would you say, this is no longer hot soup. I would never have this soup anymore. Now there's v'hayin she'adam ha'munyan bet mashke cham shol soso b'toras chamin k'sas. Or I would no longer have this as hot tea anymore. For now, if you view it as lukewarm, it's a little bit subjective here. Raise the ketzon in gamor and also lachzu l'cham l'chodeh. So if the tea becomes such that people would say, oh, this is no longer considered a hot tea, or this is no longer considered a hot soup, so then you would not be allowed to reheat it. Now, what's interesting is that the Yemenites follow the Rambam. So according, if I don't know if there are any Yemenites in Oceanside, but Yemenites can warm up soup on Shabbos, because Yemenites believe the Rambam holds that you can heat up cold soup on Shabbos, full stop. So Yemenites can have cold soup on Shabbos. So the question is, if you get invited to a Yemenite, can you eat their soup? So Pini Halacha says, Ubnei is a Rabbi Melamed. He says, Umibnei ole teiman. And for those, the Yemenite Jews, Yeshem Rabbim Shinogim Kedas Aram, made them hold like the Rambam. Lufiza im bishlo marak be'erv Shabbos v'nichu b'mkarer. If they cook soup on Erev Shabbos, they put it in the fridge. Mutter b'shabbos l'tzim me'ham karer l'nichu b'mokom sheyuchal l'itchamem ad she'yirtach. You're allowed to take it out of the fridge and to put it in a place that can be heated until it gets really hot. Again, let's say a non-adjustable hot plate on top of an urn, whatever the case is. This is true for all of their sauces and other liquids. So you turn, if you turn the page, so he says, but kasher mi shenoy k'shulchan aruch or rama mitareach etzel temane temani shenoy k'rama. So let's say you're going to someone's house who's a Yemenite, he follows the Rambam. Mutil alechol min amarach sholti mareach mi amakareach b'chimimo. You're allowed to eat from the soup that the person heated up. Why? Shehova mareach naha kalacha al pi minhago mutil chol yudi lechol lechatchil mi atavshilo. He did nothing wrong. He acted according to halacha, according to his ruling. So therefore, you can eat, any Jew can eat that. In other words, it's different. I wouldn't say that Rav Melamed would say that, well, if you go to a Sephardi's house on Pesach, you can have kitnios if he serves it. Because the kitnios food, right, for you, you Ashkenazim don't eat kitnios. But here we're talking about you're not allowed to eat food that maybe you're not allowed to eat food for which if someone violated the halacha in preparing food, so maybe you're not allowed to eat that food. So if someone, let's say an Ashkenazi, heated up soup for you, so maybe you're not allowed to eat the soup. Because the person violated Shabbos. It's called Maaseh Shabbos. They did an Isser Shabbos, so you can't benefit from that Isser Shabbos, from that prohibition. But here, even though you are not allowed to do that, he warmed it up himself, and this was permitted, and so you're allowed to have that. If you look at the interesting footnote 45, most poskim do not allow an Ashkenazi or Sephardi to ask a Yemenite to reheat liquids in their home, though the issue is complex. So you could have, you know, you have people of a Shabbos goy, you could have like a Shabbos Yemenite, you know, a Yemenite Jew who goes from house to house warming up soup on Shabbos. So it's an interesting question. Okay, there's another interesting point here, another interesting debate here, where Sephardim are a little more lenient than Ashkenazim in the following case, in source 43. The Teshuvah of Or Litzion, of Ben Zion Abba Shaul, says, V'onira, also it seems, Sheish lahakel b'shash ha-tzorech lasim ma'achal imrotev, that one can be lenient in pressing times to put food to give food with sauce. Imedato lehotzio kodem sheyagia rotev lishir sheyatz letespo. If he plans to remove it before it reaches the shear of yatz letespo. The Eish Letzareif Bozeh Shitas Rashi, that you can join, you can connect, you can combine the position of Rashi. Shemutel Aniach Davar Shein Mevushal Im Datolot Tzio Kodem Sheyispashel. So here's an interesting question. Am I allowed to warm food on Shabbos? Let's say I have cold food. Am I allowed to put the food on a hot plate on Shabbos, cold food? Let's say it hasn't been cooked yet. I don't know. I'm going to take it off before it reaches 110 degrees. You have food that's cold, and I want to warm it up a little bit. Let's say it hasn't been fully cooked. But I'm going to take it off. I just want it to be warm. And right now it's cold. I'll put it on, and before it reaches the temperature of 110 degrees, I'm going to take it off. Can I do that? I'm not cooking it. No, if the answer we say, Rashi says yes, but most Rishonim don't agree with Rashi. Most Rishonim say that Chashin and Shem Yishlach Lotzio. In other words, if I put food in the oven to cook it, but I'm going to take it out before it reaches 110 degrees, so I'm not going to cook it. So most Rishonim say you cannot do that because you might forget and leave it in there and you violate the prohibition of Bishop. So even though we reject Rashi, who's lenient, Mikomakom, Benidon Didon Shish Machlokes, but here there's a debate when it comes to liquids. So some even say that with liquids, Once it's been cooked, you can reheat it even if it's cold. So the Sephardim, I would be allowed to warm up soup, cold soup, but up to 110 degrees. I don't know how you measure that, but I was allowed to take soup that was cooked and then and left over in the kitchen and put it in the fridge and warm it up so it's warm, 90 degrees, 100 degrees, but not 110 degrees. I'd be allowed to warm it up to that amount because some Rashi says you can do that in general, and the Rambam says there's no problem of reheating cooked liquid even though it's come cool. So you combine the two, you could be lenient. But if you see here, the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Yashiv, Mishnah Berurah is strict. In case of great need, Rav Yashiv allows Ashkenazim to be lenient as well. That's an interesting lenient. And then, the final point is, can you ask a non-Jew to reheat liquid? Can you ask a non-Jew to reheat soup on Shabbos? So the Ravad Yosef thinks for that source 44 Veda Shayidei Nachri Mutar Lachamim Afilu Tavshil Lach Tzoda Al Plata Chashmalit. According to Ravad Yosef, you can have soup. That's you cook soup on Friday, you put it in the fridge. You have a non-Jew warm it up for you. Why? Because he holds Shahol Das Ramarash Bavaran Mutar Afilu Ayde Yisrael. That since, according to big time Rishonim, the Ram, Rashba, and the Ran, even a Jew can reheat it. Even though we're concerned for the stricter view, like the Maran, like Rav Yadius, this is like asking a non-Jew to set aside a rabbinic prohibition and we'll lead it. So this is what this goes to is, when is Amir al-Nachri permitted? Right? When are you allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something on Shabbos? So Rav Yosef, he's saying like this. He's saying that in a situation where it's a machlokes, whether something's permitted or not, it's a bona fide machlokes. So when there's a bona fide machlokes, a bona fide debate, whether a Jew can do it, then you are allowed to ask the non-Jew to do it. Okay? And one more that Rav Yosef says here, and in source 45, Rav Yosef, Chelak Yud Or Chaim Chaf Vav, says Be'etzem Adavar L'Chamem Tavshil Sherubo Rotev Shehulach. In the essence of the matter, to warm up, let's say a cooked food that has a lot of sauce, let's say it's like very, it's mostly liquid. There's debate whether there's cooking after cooking when it comes to liquids. Umaran pasuk lahachmir shacharach is strict. Kachol sveika derais lechumra, like any doubtful case of a Torah prohibition that we're strict. But when miklal stafik miklus drabusa lo nafka, but when it comes to it still remains a debate, a doubt, because there are machlokas, it's a debate. At the end of the day, we're strict, but it's a debate. And therefore, he says, Bigrama. What about Grama? Go nidon nidon, sheno sein hakdera plata shehi kvuya, rak lachar mikan nidlekas ayadei shaon Shabbos. So, what about this? Can I take cold soup from the refrigerator and put it on a hot plate that's subject to a timer? Right? So when you put the pot of soup on the hot plate, so you're not heating it up right now, so it's not direct. It's only going to be at some later point. That's called grama. So he wants to say that since, according to most poskim, grama is permitted, so he says, we can be lenient here. So, just want to point out that Ashkenazim, again, are generally strict. But, it's right, right here, that, so basically what you have here, just so you understand, if you have a Sephardi relative, you know, someone a Sephardi, Yemenite Jews might totally reheat chicken soup on a hot plate on Shabbos morning from the fridge, and that's totally permitted. That's the Rambam. And other Sfardim, so a lot of them might be lenient, like either to warm up, either to warm up the soup, but maybe not to 110 degrees. Some Sfardim allow that. Rav Abba ben Sheol Tzion, Rav Vad Yosef allows you to ask a non-Jew to warm up the soup, and he says that you can put it on a timer. Ashkenazim are strict in all these cases, but it's important to know if you see someone, you shouldn't necessarily see someone as Sfardi who's doing these things. You shouldn't think that they're doing the wrong thing. And even if an Ashkenazi does that, I mean, again, we have to follow Minhag Ashkenaz if you're Ashkenazi. But again, there are some who are lenient. Okay. Any questions about this? Okay. We're going to move on now to Bishul of liquids and solids. Okay. Bishul of mixtures of liquid and solid. That's always. I got this question on Friday. Leora and Ezra, they're making their first Shabbos in their new apartment, and so Leora sent me a picture of her chicken, and she said, and there's some moisture underneath. She says, do I have to get rid of the liquid underneath? Can I reheat it with the liquid underneath? Right? Because you make chicken. And then there's liquid, and you're saving it for Shabbos. So you put it in the refrigerator, you take it out. So what did I say? I said, ask your mother. But I know some of these questions. I told her what I thought, but we'll learn the topic here. The question is that's a big question. What if it's mostly solid and a little bit liquid? Can you reheat it? So the first source we have here is source 46, Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham says that the kasa of Rabbeinu Yonah v'chol zeh shemar shemachzir and dafka k'shidim mivod yon l'machal ben drusad. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that when you can return the pot to the fire is only when it reaches the status of machal ben drusad. So he says when it's one-third cooked. V'ol lo higia lo yachzir. But if it hasn't reached one-third cooked, then you can't put it back in Nata. Vafilo higia im shaha va'oda biyado ad nistana atav shel osel achzira im yesh bo rotif. So for our purposes, this is what he says, even if it's reached the stage of machal ben drusai, remember we said there's a debate, but does that have to reach machal ben drusai for you to reheat it, or does that have to be fully cooked? Even in a case where it's fully, let's say it's you can return it, it's right, even in a normal case where it's reached a certain cooking stage, you're not allowed to return it. Asher lachzira im yesh bo rotev, if there is sauce, if there's liquid. V'chol davar sheyesh bo rotev u'mitztamek biyafalo v'hu tzonen k'sheyachziru al gabei kiru mitztamek havei mevashel gavur. Anything if you are putting back solid together with liquid, so then. And the liquid is cold, and it makes it better, right? If it improves the food, then it's forbidden, even if there's any liquid. The Beis Yosef says it a little bit differently. He says Kol Sherubo Rotev Mitzav Yafalo Hutzonik Sheachziru Al Gabekiro Mitzav Heve Mvashal Gomer. He says that no, it only applies if it is mostly liquid. So that's a big question. In other words, when we say that if there's liquid that is cooled down and you reheat it, it's subject to Bishul, does that mean if there's any liquid, then you violate the Torah prohibition of Bishul? Or do we say, no, we look at the food and we look at it. It's either liquid or solid. And how do we determine whether the food's liquid or solid? You see, what's the majority? So if the majority is solid, we look at it as solid food. Even if there's a little liquid being recooked, no, fundamentally we're looking at it as a solid food. And therefore, as long as the majority is solid, then if you reheat the liquid, we're not worried about it. So how do we paskin? Source 48, Shulchan Aruch, Harav, Or Chaim, Shin Yud, Ches, Saif, Yud, Aleph. It says, Tavshil Yavesh, She'ein bo rotev klal, ein bo bishal achar bishal, mispashal, Kvar Kolts or Kol feeling sign the garment. He says that any dry food doesn't contain any liquid at all, then it's not subject to Bishul Achar Bishul if it became fully cooked. And even if it became cold. So he seems to say that any amount of liquid is a problem.
And then source 49, Umi Ksosa Shulcho. Rav Chaim Noah says, Umi im tav shelach kitzatz. If the cooked food is a little bit moist, ad she'ein bo tofech almanas lakpiach, if it doesn't have enough moisture on the cooked food to make something else moist. So then, efshar delach lochis kazu ein bo mamash. That's not a problem. It's a tzarch iyo. So this requires further analysis. In other words, you look in the footnote, you said, like moist chicken or moist potatoes without an additional sauce would probably be okay. To further develop this, if you turn the page, Moshe Feinstein in source 50, so he sort of deals with this. And he goes, Moshe Arachayim, Chelek Dalid, Simon Ayan Dalid, Bishel, Saif Zayin, says, Ochel, Shuvo Yavesh, Yumir Tolach, Yim Yesh Lahach Bishish, Bo Bishel Acher Bishel, Yim Nitzdan in the Gamma. So he says that food that is mostly dry and it is minimally liquid. So do you have to be strict about bishul achar bishul if it's getting very cold? So Moshe first says, "Hinei lo muvun lo muvan chiluk bein rov lach lemiut lach meacher de biud halach yitbashel kishut zoning." He said, "What's the difference if there's a little bit of liquid or a lot of liquid? What's the difference? Today you're cooking some liquid." If it got cold, Asher Al Kainu Hachreach Lefaris Kemashmos Prima Gadim Misimun Reshlam Gimel Mishpal Zav Seif Katan Yud Gimel Devarov Who Mitzdamik V'Yafalov V'Miud Who Mitzdamik V'Alav. He says maybe if the majority is liquid. So generally speaking, if a food is fully cooked and then you heat the food, then the food sort of the cooked food shrivels a little bit, and it's not as good anymore. So he says, well, maybe. If the majority is liquid, then you are benefiting the food, because majority liquid, so majority is benefiting. But if there's only a little bit of liquid, then for the most part, when you're reheating it, you're making it worse for the food, because it's too, maybe the liquid makes it better, but the majority of the food is becoming more shriveled. So maybe that's the difference. But he said, if that's the case, l'chein yesh lesor kiven deram pligi ala rama, because davka mitzvah for yafalo yesh bishul achar bishul. He says, but most poskim argue on the rama and say even rama says you only violate bishul achar bishul if it makes the food better. He's saying that's not how most poskim say. Most poskim argue on the rama and say, even mitzdamek viralo, even if it makes it the food worse, because it shrivels it up, you would still violate bishul achar bishul if you recook the liquid, reheat the liquid. And then he says in source 51 of Abayishal Avram, and he says mishpil zav, he says kasev eno kamash mo supreme godim dileil umatir b'miyolach. So he says that there are some who allow a little bit of liquid. V'ulaihu mitam d'me'etzam adin gam balach ein bishul achar bishul. So he says maybe because there's a whole debate anyway to begin with whether there's a prohibition of bishul achar bishul with lach, with liquids, so maybe with a little of liquid we're not so concerned. And he said, but you really should be strict, but in bishas hatcha gadol, in extenuating circumstances, maybe it could be lenient. If you look, Rabbi Ribiat, he wrote a great work a number of years ago called the 39 Melachos book, and in source 52 he says the following. This is how he explains. He says a davar yavesh does not have to be totally dry in every sense. Even a moist food may be classified as a davar yavesh, as long as there is no significant accumulation of gravy or other liquid. For example, a cold roast chicken is considered a davar yavesh, even though the surface of the chicken is often moist with gravy or juices. Similarly, meat and meatballs, vegetables, and other cooked foods or roasted foods are all classified as davar yavesh even when moist. However, a food is indeed classified as davar lach if it contains an accumulation of liquid. For example, meatballs in sauce, chicken in soup, and meat in gravy are all considered davar lach for practical purposes because the accumulated liquid of which they are a part. So it seems to me that what he seems to say is that you should remove the liquid, basically. You try to remove the liquid, but anything that's like stuck to the chicken, and you don't have to like squeeze out the liquid from the chicken. Look at footnote 51. Mishnah Berurah seems to write you should move all the liquid from the dish to be considered solid food. So it says many do not allow even small amounts of liquid, but the amount of liquid, he says, if the amount is insignificant and you're not interested in it, then it might be okay. In other words, I think generally speaking, I think what people do is they remove the sauce and they remove the, if they're heating it up, they remove the sauce, they remove the excess liquid. But anything that's like, that's moist on the chicken itself, that's fine. Should be noted that Sfardim again are lenient on this. And Rav Avad Yosef in Source 53 says, he says that V'dashelo amru yesh bishel achar bishel betavshel sheish bo marak ela betavshel she rubo marak verotev. Lav hachi dino ki yavesh. So he says you go by the majority. Rav Yosef says you go by the majority. So according to Rav Yosef, Sfardim would be allowed to, reheat saucy chicken. But this is important even because if you're Ashkenaz and you go to an Ashkenaz person's house, so if an Ashkenazi person just violates something, blatantly violates the rules of Bishul on Shabbos, I would have an issue of eating from the food. It's obviously a very uncomfortable situation. But if even Ashkenazi would warm up saucy chicken or saucy meatballs, I would eat it. Why? Because at least there's an opinion. Rav Avad Yosef says, again, you can be lenient, even though, again, Ashkenazim don't hold like this, but since this is a bona fide view, so I might be lenient when it comes to this. Again, I wouldn't do it l'chatchila, but if you don't want to embarrass the person, so I might eat it. The last point on this topic is Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, Uma in Source 54 in Or Chaim, or Igros Moshe Or Chaim, Chelak Dalet Siman Ayin Dalet Bishul Hey, Uma Shenistapakta Be Ketchup, Shema Hu Ochel Machmashu Av She Nirok Ayude Shvicha. Maybe what he's eating because it's thick. Is ketchup considered lach or yavish? Thick ketchup, is that lach or yavish? Is that dry? Is that liquid or is that solid? So he says, "Mistabe shelo toloi zeh bedin ochel o mashke lagabe tuma." It's not the same rules of tuma. There's different rules for liquid and solid regarding ritual impurity. Rav Moshe thinks, "Im hu davar hazav o davar shu chaticha o menes o midubekes yachad af belo kli mamida medabgun shelchein yesh lach shil kalach." He says, The difference of whether something's considered dry or liquid is whether something needs like a container to hold it together, or whether it can be, or whether it can stand alone. So obviously, ketchup, in order for it, you need, it's liquid because you need a vessel that holds it together. So therefore, we view ketchup as liquid. That's what Moshe Feinstein holds. And there could be other reasons. There are interesting questions. Can you put ketchup on a solid food? He talks to us on a footnote. Can you put ketchup on a potato, on a hot potato on Shabbos? Are you cooking the ketchup? There are reasons to be lenient. But I'm saying a ketchup is viewed as liquid. Ketchup is viewed as a liquid for this purpose. The last topic here is not really so relevant, I think, for us. Just a question, really, whether bones are, I don't know, some of these, I think it's an interesting footnote that he has, a footnote 54. Apparently, there are a bunch of students in the yeshiva took chulent from the yeshiva chulent on Friday night and discovered that chicken bones were in the chulent were not fully cooked. So can they return the chicken bones with the chulent back to the chulent pot on Shabbat, back to the fire on Shabbat, right? Now they removed the chulent. And in the chulent, there were these chicken bones. I guess they add flavor, but the bones themselves were not cooked. So when you put the chulent back, are you cooking the chicken bones? So without going into detail, Minchas Shlomo, he seems to be strict because there are people who eat bones, and Moshe Feinstein says that no, the bones are inedible. Rav Yitzchak Yosef is lenient here because he says that even though when you soften the bones, You don't intend to soften the bones. You don't intend to cook the bones. So it's grama, and it's psik resha. It's not, you're not interested. It might only be a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore it's permitted. Okay.